the Business on RTE Radio 1 with AIB. You see it, we help you do it. AIB, for the life you're after.
But firstly, to a woman who was here with us just a few years ago, having secured funding from the BBC's Dragon's Den to bring her business to the next level. She's with us again, but with a very different story. Unfortunately, competition from huge international household names proved too much for Sharon Keegan's Peachy Lean, an online activewear brand. The business went into liquidation this week. Sharon, I know COVID had been a big boon for your business and you were riding high when you were here in 2021. So when did things start getting tough and you thought this can't last? What happened?
It's just the cost. It was the cost of operations. I suppose, you know, when you're buying a product, shipping it across the sea and, you know, you have a war that's increasing the cost of oil and distribution and fabric and, you know, operation costs overall, your margin is decreased furthermore. So I suppose the last 9 months have been incredibly difficult. We started to run out of cash last year. I was out trying to raise funds for the guts of a year, and you know, I tried everything I could. You know, I was at every pitch and opportunity and business community meetings and networks, and you know, sometimes it was a good old hard slog, but I gave it everything. So with not raising funds, you start to decrease your overall operational costs, your team takes a hit, your marketing spend takes a hit, you cannot invest in your new product development and keep up with this demand for newness all of the time. And then you start to see bigger players in the market squeeze you. So, you know, we were competing with Goliaths across the sea in Asia who were selling product for, I suppose, directly from the factory floor at the price that you may have been buying the stock in bulk for. So it kind of cuts you out. And then they're delivering that stock to the consumer, directly to the consumer at that price for free shipping. And now these Goliaths can put a picture, because of their, say, global ability to reach consumers, they can literally develop a product, upload a photograph, and depending on the level of sales and interest in that product, they can then supply on demand. It's just such a cheaper way of doing business.
It is. And when it comes to the marketing, one of the big you have the benefit of, in theory, a global customer base when you're selling online, but they have to know about you. You've got to appear in the searches. You've got to have your marketing landing somewhere. Yeah. And was that getting more difficult as well?
Yeah, like, look, there's always been kind of the space I was in was very busy anyway. But, you know, social media was obviously a big, big builder in our business and telling our story and the consumer really connecting in with us. And I feel we've done that really, really well. But again, with changes, you know, and advertising spend dips, you don't get as much traction as you would. You know, one of these Goliaths would have multi-millions of dollars of spend. So, for instance, if I want to bid on a keyword like spandex or support or leggings or, you know, anything that is directed to the Peachy Lean business, these e-commerce brands have so much more money than we have that they will just outbid us in every area of the keywords.
How much are you talking about for keywords? What does it cost to gain access to a keyword that somebody would put into a search?
It kind of goes up and down. But for instance, if you have a keyword like legging, for instance, quite an expensive keyword to buy, that keyword can, per hit online, that keyword could cost a brand anywhere from 14 euros to over 100 euros, depending in the market space that you're buying the keyword. So obviously you have the Irish market, you have the UK market, you have the American market.
So the bigger the market, the more expensive it is.
Exactly. It can be very expensive in the likes of the US, yeah.
And then those really big competitors of yours from Asia or China or whatever, would they be in a position then that if they, as you've described it, if they don't get enough buyers quickly, they can actually just cancel that product?
Absolutely. Stop
the product.
Yeah, I had the privilege of sitting in a room full of CEOs and investors and directors of these, some of these companies. And I was a fly on the wall, really. I felt very honoured to be able to listen to their strategy. And their strategy is so slick and so momentous in the change of what's going to happen over the next few years, that AI can create an image. It can create a product based on trend and the image and the model. So no photo shoot, no actual product. The product mightn't even exist, really. Post that up online, and without any traction, the product will never be made. But with traction, the product will be made and sold. Yeah.
There must have been days in the last, particularly in the last 9 months, that were very stressful for you. Can you remember particular moments where you got up, you went into work, and it was just tough to handle what was going on?
Yeah, look, when you start a business, you have the most utmost of, like, it's a dream, you know, and you something takes off, and it's kind of a bittersweet thing for me, because, you know, like the last time I was in with you guys, we were celebrating, and it was celebrating a huge success. I was drowning in grief at that time, and the success of this business really kind of kept me afloat. So this business is more than just, it's more than just a business. It was.
It's okay, Sharon, take your time.
It was a catalyst for healing. You know, it was like something good came out of something really quite bad.
Your brother had died, wasn't it? And you were still grieving from that.
Yeah, I'm still grieving. Everyone's still grieving, but grieving a business is, it's, do you know what? I need to share this, because there's people now that are struggling in business. And I know that because I've had so many phone calls this week, and letting go of something that you've built that's literally like a baby. And I don't want to take away from grief in a sense of losing a human, because I know what that feels like. But we sat at my kitchen table on Tuesday after the meeting, the creditors meeting, and I know what grief feels like, and it was grief. It was grief that we were feeling at the kitchen table on Tuesday. And, you know, letting go of something that kind of healed you or made you get out of bed every single day when you really just did not want to. Letting go of that is really difficult. And what's kept me going, and why I want to share this, is that the people that we have touched over the last 6 years have literally lifted me up over the last few days, along with the incredible staff members that worked for the brand. And looking back on all of what we've achieved over the past 6 years, you know, I put together this beautiful piece that we put out online. A lot of that was done on goodwill. It was done on a communal belief and mission that we were going to actually help each other and support each other and help women get through these darkest days and, you know, increase their confidence.
And did it impact your own health, Sharon?
Yeah, like, look, you know, in June of this year, I was incredibly stressed, and kind of, we had let a few key members of the team go, and it was kind of all literally coming down to myself and two part-time people. And I was wearing every hat within the business to try and keep it afloat. And that is incredibly difficult when you're trying to put a face on. You've two young children. You're not paying yourself. You're trying to pay everybody else. The bills are mounting. And yeah, I had an incident where I kind of woke up on my kitchen table. My partner was away. Sorry.
It's okay. It's all right. Take your time, Sharon.
I didn't know what happened, but I had an incident, and I was taken into hospital, but it was like a bleed on the brain, small bleed. And yeah, I've been kind of like with a neurosurgeon and trying to figure that all out. And like, look, business is business, you know, it is what it is. We'll certainly prevail, and the community will be looked after, because that's my main priority. My staff were incredible. But I have two children, and my children are everything to me. So, you know, that was kind of the beginning of the end of me making this really difficult decision, because regardless of whether I could save the business or not, and the you know, the macro environment that I was dealing with anyway, my health is so important, and the fact I want to be alive, you know, for my kids. So,
and that must have been terrifying for you to have that health scare like that and that incident. And how are you feeling now?
Yeah, look, everything's great. I'm with a great neurosurgeon and looking after myself now. Yeah, it was stress. Like, stress is so incredibly difficult, and it's the things that you don't see, you know, like you kind of live in this world where everyone, you know, is told to keep going, you know, just don't give up, keep going. You have to just keep going. But like, what if keeping going is actually the thing that's the detriment of you, you know?
It's more important to be here.
Yeah, like what, you know, like I can only keep going and I can only win if I'm healthy and I'm not stressed.
With Peachy Lean, you did raise money from investors. I think you would have raised, was it over €500,000? That money, with the business gone into liquidation, is probably gone. How have they been about it? How stressful was that for you?
So, look, I have to be honest, I had the most incredible people in my life. I was very fortunate to have meetings with investors who backed the jockey and not the horse, if you know what I mean. And I've, you know, we had a very difficult meeting, very difficult couple of meetings about the future of Peachy Lean and why or what was going to happen.
And how did you feel after those meetings?
Oh, like you can imagine, like you feel like you're letting people down. Like, these are people who believed in me, who backed me, and here I am telling them that they're going to lose their children's inheritance. But I think in some of the conversations I've had, because these people are so incredibly invested in me as a person, they know that the next project or whatever we're going to do next, they're going either going to come along for the ride because they've told me that personally, or I will, like, I have this thing in my head where I'll be handing them a check at some point, you know, like I really truly believe that. But yeah, they've
so
been
so you
incredible.
Want them to get their money back through some future venture that
absolutely.
You're going to do.
Like, these are people that I'll bring through my life with me. They believed in me when, you know, there was such a saturated market of this sort of thing coming out, and they believed in what I wanted to do, the mission I wanted to achieve. And we did achieve that. We did achieve what we set out to do. It's unfortunate that spandex and nylon isn't profitable at this present moment in what I was doing.
Do you think you could have done anything differently?
Yeah, like, so look, there is the massive international competitors, but also, and I have to say this, I feel like we were certainly underfunded as a brand. You know, you mentioned €500,000. I think we just got under €500,000, so 260 in private investment and funded by Enterprise Ireland as well as a HPSU startup. But there was a lot of times where I would see people flourish on the funding side and couldn't understand why or how we weren't being backed, if you know what I mean. And I just think it was timing. I think timing had a big part to play in that. I do think that it was a little bit more difficult for female investors to actually get the funding. And, you know, my future projects and my future missions in life will certainly support that ethos and get these women funded. I will be a force for change in the future for that.
And as you describe it, Sharon, it's not a very positive outlook for the retail landscape in Ireland, mm-hmm. and for smaller businesses that want to try and build, unless they're going to be a really bespoke, high-end, expensive, premium Irish brand out there. If they're going for the mid-market, they're going to get swept by lower cost, lower price competitors. It's not a very positive outlook for Irish retailers.
I do fear for retailers. I spoke to a lot of people this week, a lot of great people, you know, gave me a phone call and we had some serious conversations. And look, to them retailers, I would say, you know, really, really start talking to your consumer. You need to just be very honest and authentic. Like, I've certainly not shying away from this. I'm not, no shame in it. You need to speak to your consumer, tell them that you need their support to, if they, you know, the amount of people this week that reached out to me in, you know, with sincere like grief and tears that Peachy Lean was not no more. You know, and as consumers, you know, we really do need to back our Irish brands. I know it's a difficult time. I know there's less cash in our pockets, but, you know, don't feed the beasts, because, you know, we're paying these big, big, big companies that are not paying taxes in Ireland. They're not supporting jobs in Irish communities. Some of them are based in the Cayman Islands, and you know what that means. So, you know, we really need to support our Irish businesses, Irish jobs and our Irish brands.
And what about the future? What are your plans?
So, look, there's a few things going on. Next year, I'll represent Ireland in Olympic weightlifting. So I'm really going to focus on that. I know that's just out of the blue. But I'm actually going to Albania to, please God.
You'll be able to work off that stress, yes, and frustration through the weights. You'll probably lift like you've never lifted before.
Oh, it's lifting, like literally lifting the emotion and lifting all the stress and tension. Please God, bring some silverware home for Ireland next year. And, you know, that's really just something that I've always wanted to do as a 42-year-old woman with two children. I'm going to fight for that dream, and that's something that's going to happen for me next year. But look, we have a project that we're working on, and we're bringing that gorgeous community from Peachy Lean with us. And our mission, really, myself and Fiona O'Carroll. So Fiona O'Carroll and I met in the female Going for Growth Network. She was my mentor from day one with Peachy Lean. I met her on day one and said, oh my God, this woman's incredible. She ran like digital businesses, multi-million dollar businesses.
So she's going to be involved in this new venture with you.
Yes.
And what will you do? What is it?
So what we're doing is what we are going to do, Richard, is we are going to create the next group of female millionaires, because there's no point in teaching women and, you know, putting them into networks to beg for money off investors that aren't ever going to give it to them. We're going to help these women be millionaires.
And how will you do that?
We've developed 10 to 12 different programs that teach women how to start business, how to develop product, how to run business from A to B, but it's all AI based. So we have spent a long time really, really looking at AI and how AI is going to help businesses in the next couple of years. It's incredible.
Would you ever develop a physical product again, Sharon, or do you feel that's just, it's just not doable in this
environment? Actually laughing because I just had a conversation with someone, my DA from Enterprise Ireland, who I'm great friends with, Keith Brock, and he said, well, you know, what's next? And I said, digital product, obviously. I said, I will never ever touch a physical product ever again. So there's your answer.
I'm not surprised you're thinking like that. Sharon, I know it's been a very tough week, and thank you so much for joining us. And the best of luck with the new business. Sharon Keegan, formerly of Peachy Lean and of the Confidence Clinics, thanks for joining us on the programme.